This call is being recorded.
Thanks. Okay, so welcome again on the on this conference for Hydro Community Group. Thanks, Sebastian, for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so the first topic in our agenda, in our today's agenda, would be API examples. I think this topic was added by Tomasz. Would you care to elaborate more?
Well, just want to keep this this ball rolling generally. So we've got now this open pull request, which we I think are close to merging.
I can't see any pull request ongoing on the API examples. So.
Oh, have we already merged it? Okay, my bad. Okay, even better than so. What we can discuss is where this is actually going and how we like the progress here. What I was proposing earlier is to actually start, actually implementing stuff on top of these API examples. So I'm currently finishing stuff on the front end, on the client and on the generic app that I maintain to get the collections more recognized. So I was then thinking of actually making a real API out of this already, or at least starting. Sebastian, I'm curious, now that you've joined for the first time, have you actually had a look? The API examples are just a bit of static JSONs. So I wonder. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yes, I've not looked at it. It's I'm really playing catch up. So what I can do is in 2 weeks will nearly be rest fest, isn't it? But yes, I'm happy to review it, and we're working on our Hydro server implementation. So I'd be happy implementing something using our .NET server.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'm wondering, I know that you mentioned that OpenRest will or does Hydra in a way some time ago already. So I wonder, it would be nice to actually see it in action. And then I wonder if you may have any thoughts on making the API examples repository and the thing useful for yourself. So you are, you are now still a bit of a bystander. You are outside of me, Carol, and Angelo, who started this. Your input of what you think is important to you.
Tom, I can't really hear you. Is it me or?
I don't know, Sebastian.
I can hear. Okay. I can hear. Okay.
Okay. Maybe it's on my.
Maybe. Anyway, if you can maybe if Sebastian, if you can think of anything that would make this useful. So for the context, if you haven't followed the Slack discussion some time ago. So my idea was that to have this as a blueprint for a real API, right? So that it kind of lists examples that follow the same design. So currently it's not there yet. You remember. So if it's best, you would be the best feedback for what we actually need and for what you need to, for example, set up an API on OpenRasta that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the difficulty we had about examples is we tried to follow the examples that were in the Heracles client, and there were a few examples where there were divergences between various examples. They were not compatible. There were collections, items, and the issues on GitHub were still pending around using actions and operations. So really, the examples would be great to crystallize how to do things, and also to make sure that we can implement it from a static language perspective. So I'm happy going through all this and making sure that I understand it, which would be a good first step. Yeah, that would be a good first step.
So actions are a bit weird. So they are a bit newer to the spec. Before, there was just operations, and there were actions and operations. And personally, I'm not really versed in that either, because it was never really finalized. So it started sometime in 2017, and then it somehow never really followed through. So we need to definitely crystallize, like you said.
I think the actions didn't make through to the spec in any way.
Yeah, but there's still open issues, that kind of thing. So we definitely we will get there soon enough, I hope, and then we can clear out all the confusion. But that's maybe go ahead, please.
So from my side, because you, Sebastian, mentioned that you were trying to use the Heracles, feel free to leave any feedback. I'm actively working on the client. Actually, I'm using it on this prototype of a new Hydra console and generic clients. So I appreciate any feedback so I can actually improve client. I didn't reach the point of using operations with this generic client, so it may not work correctly.
Okay. We have had a live API since October that uses operations and actions. So no one is using that bit yet. So we still have a chance to change it without breaking people, I guess. The important thing for me will be to make sure that we're going to have to build a .NET client as well. That's going to come in the next month or two. So if we change the way that the discussion had progressed back then we might want to consider discussing how we opt out of or opt into the standard or opt out of the non-standard old way of doing things, because we'll have to support that for our customers. So I've got a bunch of ideas about using profile, but that's our main concern on this one, is to make sure that as we finalize and crystallize this spec, we don't break our customers.
Okay, you mentioned that you have this API lag somewhere. Is there any chance we can take a peek on this, or is it not available in public?
It's public, but it costs money. But we have some documentations that I can share. But it was very badly written. But there is some documentation.
What I mean is that if you've got some customer with some demands related to Hydra or client or whatever is related to Hydra, I'm keen to help you, of course, with my limited time, but still I'm interested in helping you somehow.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it would be great. We'd be happy to contribute to Heracles as well, because we'll need a JavaScript client, and I really don't want to have to build any more specific clients for our API. Mm-hmm. That's probably moving a little bit further down the road, a couple of months, because we need to get the .NET stuff done. But after that, we should be able to put some actual money on it.
Okay, sure, cool. We
help out on anything.
I did have some server-side C# implementation of Hydra, but it's actually 1 or 2 years old and probably not spec reliant anyway. But you can take a look on what's on my GitHub if you're interested. If you can.
No, we are not a divergent crowd because I too maintain a JavaScript client, and I do also have a .NET backend, but for Nancy. And actually,
I know that code.
I've actually even updated to .NET Core so that I can I can run Docker. That's fun. But yeah, it's cool and interesting, and also funny to have three concurrent .NET backends and then yeah, the two front ends. We've actually been, so the backends are not really used anywhere much, so I use it for my pet project. Carol, I don't think you've deployed anywhere, so those really updated or anything. But the JavaScript clients, I use it for the generic stuff, and also for our at my job. We intend to use it for Hydra. Carol is also using it, so we thought maybe it's good that we have two of them, and then exercise the different ways for doing things, because we are still kind of exploring.
Yeah, I think what I would really like is for us to manage to probably move faster on the spec to make sure that as soon as we have two or three implementations that seem to function for a feature, we just go with it, so that we don't continue the continuous loop of design, discussion, and not being able to build software, because we have very large banks and very big customers that are going live on this. So it's important for us to I don't want to fork Hydra to support my customers. That is what I mean. So if we could have some implementation workshops, that would be awesome. You know.
Oh well, this maybe it could happen. It's something like this has been proposed by Ruben. I mean, not necessarily implementation workshops, but they could have been part of the meeting. But that didn't really happen. The community hasn't been as active as it used to be, but that is a great idea. For now, what you're saying is exactly why we came up with the API examples thing, right? To actually build and iterate on the spec and then on the implementations, because for the past few years, Hydra was just endless discussions on how to make the spec, how to make the data structures, but no one really tried them live, right?
Yep.
I suppose we need this is the best opportunity for your contribution. I suppose anything that you're building, maybe it's pseudo Hydra with kind of best guess implementation or something that you had to add, which you know is non-standard, but this is what made your API possible. That's the kind of stuff that should end up in the spec, or at least somewhere close documented that, well, this is one way to do things which works in this scenario. So that kind of feedback is invaluable.
Is it worth trying to keep a bunch of those samples in the same repository, or is it worth having just separate repos? And I mean, I'm happy starting to push a repo with open raster code for these samples, because I think that's how I'll be giving feedback on what is on there.
I mean, if I
think we agreed on having multiple examples in one repo.
Yeah, so that, I mean, depending on what you're asking for the official examples, yeah, we want to have just a single repository with multiple APIs that are somehow connected. So eventually it will be like, yeah, currently we started working on movies API, and then you may have cinemas API, which are linked, right? So that the cinemas take movies from the movies API and then build some kind of repertoire. So screening events where they have certain movies at certain times, right? And then can then sell tickets, that sort of thing. So it's multiple APIs that share some core data. But if you have, but then for sharing from your end, if you have something to share, and it's not necessarily you don't want to think of the movies, then sure, you can just share, and then we will maybe turn the use case into the movie. So that, but yeah, eventually I think we should. I'd like to keep them close as a set of examples, which are somehow related, not just, you know, assortment of bits and pieces.
Okay, I'll post the documentation for our API. We'll give you a sample of where we are with this. There are some broken stuff in terms of Hydra, but the entry point and collections and actions are implemented on there.
Cool, fantastic. On top of that, any pain points that you may have had or stuff that you're not happy with, that would be great. But yeah, if you can first. So it's, you said documentation. I mean, there is an actual entry point, and that can be exercised with a generic client or the analyzer.
I have no idea if it works with a generic client because we've not written one yet. We've built the entry point and the collections and the IRI templates and the schemas, or the context document that gets generated from the static typing. We've implemented collections, and we've implemented purchase actions on certain collections to purchase items. That's kind of where we stopped. I don't know where you want me to post this stuff. I'm going to take notes to make sure that I actually do all the things that I'm saying I'll do. Which might be nicer.
Oh, that's good. Maybe an action item, Carol?
Yeah, I think so.
No one's really looking at those action items. But yeah, let's keep track of this way.
Are you typing it?
No, I'm not. I there were not the commands for Zaki.
Okay, what would be this action point title?
Sebastian to share their example API. Simple.
Okay.
I think Slack is or you can tweet it at Hydra or share on Slack probably.
Okay, is it okay?
Yep. So I've added reviewing the samples, which I hope to have some time to do next week. And while doing that, I'll build an open raster sample and I'll share the code for that to give an idea on how we're building this stuff as it is.
All right. Okay. I think maybe that's Hello, that's it for the APIs. With Angelo being the main driver of this, I think mentioning that we should probably just create some kind of backlog of what we want in these examples. So just an encouragement to create some issues, Carol, and I shall do the same. Anyway, let's continue, I think.
So I think this fulfills the first topic. Can we proceed to another one? Okay, so I've created this one. I hope this will be a quick one. There is a pull request in the specification, 185. I've put a link on IRC. Generally speaking, for some time, there was a pull request related to issue. Let me open it. To issue 99. The sole purpose of this pull request is just to enable Hydra to express expected headers or return headers. And this is what this pull request does. It just adds a couple of terms that enable Hydra to describe headers. That's it. And I would that it is good to go and it can be merged. Angelo approved this, I think. Yeah.
Right. I haven't looked. I haven't looked for a while. Let's see.
So, if you're interested, just take a quick look on this one. I've enforced on GitHub those damn line endings, so the div looks fine now.
Oh, okay, I remember the line endings. So yeah, that's fixed. And so we're just adding the returns header and expects header, which are strings. I wonder. So it will not be an issue if we then want to have more elaborate expectations, especially because returns headers, yeah, that's probably string is enough forever, maybe, you never know, but expects header authorization, but then you may have different specialized structures for the authorization header. If anyone would want to describe that in Hydra, not sure if it's a good idea, but it would not be an issue to have a mix of literal and URL nodes, right?
Probably not. I think we had this discussion. Actually, I remember that initial pull request contained some crazy stuff related to some advanced templating that allowed you to put a header template, actually. But we all agreed that it's way too complex and maybe unnecessary, and we've ended up with having strings.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I remember. I remember the template, and I do agree. This is simple is enough.
I think actually this specification change also mentions that the client should apply respective header semantics. So it still can be a string a literal value that needs to be crafted by the client accordingly. So Hydra is just not enforcing anything special related to headers.
Yeah, until we actually deploy this in any API, I think that's good enough. I don't know, Sebastian, if you've had the chance now to just look at the pull request, maybe.
But if which one? Which number are we talking about? I'm just on the list now.
Yes, 185.
Okay, right.
Well, yeah. So bottom line is that just. An operation can define that it will contain it will give back some header name by name, so some header HTTP headers in response, and then it expects certain headers listed by names in request.
Okay. I will have to think about the scenarios that would cover in a generic client. I don't have any smart comments to give right now.
Precisely, and unless there's actual experience with what you would want out of it, but I think that's I agree to merging it. So if given that there is no kind of comments, Angelo agreed. We can kind of put the vote now and let's just merge it. It's been sitting there for a while now. By the way, any one of you guys used any kind of automatic transcription services? This typing of minutes is just a pain.
Yeah.
I'd rather it was just the voice to text from what we were just speaking about.
Okay. Can I, Tomasz, assume that this pull request is fine?
Yeah, I have no comments. You, the last one was fixing the line ending, so.
So maybe
it looks fine to me.
I'll try to merge this one as soon as possible. I'll leave it for today, and maybe tomorrow first thing in the morning, or not. I will merge it, so we will have another issue resolved. Okay. So. This leads to the last topic of today's agenda. Range issue 192, which is here. There was some interesting conversation ongoing. And Tomasz proposed adding something to the specification that would somehow formalize requirements on vocabulary terms, vocabulary term ranges. So, any thoughts on this? Sebastian, did you have any chance to take a look at this conversation?
No, but we do implement ranges on our side.
Okay.
So,
is it your local vocabulary or is it a shared one?
We are using XSD types for the most part.
Yeah, what
it's an RDFS range, using, yeah.
Yes, what are the these range predicates used on vocabulary terms that are common for some, I don't know, schema.org or whatever else, or is it your local vocabulary?
For the
Right, for now it's in big, large context documents that are non-standard. But okay. I have no feedback on the format. In general, I would have to alias any term that is namespaced in the inline controls, because developers will not tolerate, or our customers will not tolerate anything that doesn't look like pure JSON. The at ID and at type is about as far as they go, and after that, I can't sell it to them. But it's not a huge problem.
I did not understand correctly. You mentioned that your customer wouldn't accept anything else than the pure JSON.
Yeah, we need to have simple terms. We can't do any queries or anything like that. So we have to redefine the context so that people can use, you know, simple mm-hmm. JSON mappings to actually use this stuff.
But that's just a step in the question. The question is if for any properties you have in your supported classes, if you use any shared vocabularies like Carol mentioned, schema.org, so that would be a prime example, or is it all of it just defined with the scope of your API?
It's a good question. I'm just looking now, but most of the types is our custom vocabularies, because nothing really matches with the types we have. We have a postal address, but it's not the same postal address as other postal addresses, because UK postal addresses are, which are kind of our bread and butter, is a little bit complicated.
But yeah, I guess the range is more relevant to, like you said, XSD types, more relevant to data types, data properties. So, Carol, if you could just elaborate on one thing where it says, where you say in your last comment that having should, as in server should provide explicit property ranges, having should mm-hmm. may end up with crafting custom ranges, which may be actually wrong.
What I meant is that if the vocabulary does not mention it anyway, for instance, as schema.org does, it does not use, for instance, XSD range. In some cases, it uses its own schema range includes. I'm afraid that for such a situations, developers will come with their own definitions, probably auto-generated by the server side. And this auto-generated stuff may not be accurate. That's what I'm afraid of.
I'm not sure. May I paste a link so I may explain a little bit more easily sure. What I'm talking about? Am I all right? So this is the data catalog browser that we build on top of the Hydra model. And so I won't get too much into the details of what it does, but it basically has a variable identifier which has a bunch of custom properties. Price is an XSD price or an XSD monetary amount, and then the data type is XSD string, and the goal is to have this spit out as an LDFS range on each of those properties. So that's what we've built.
Okay.
But I need to review the issue more to understand really what the subject is about. I'm just putting it out there to explain a little bit what we are.
Oh, that's cool. So this is actually running on Hydra right now?
It's running on a Hydra modal, but it's not running on a Hydra schema because we couldn't get the format agreed on. So we have a private horrible API that we use to generate this stuff. But it's supposed to be a Hydra model. So one of the pieces of work that we're doing in the next couple of months is to start pushing out contexts that include all this. And so we have ranges, but we have ranges like strings that are a set of values, for example. And I would rather that was shared vocabularies where we can find them. So we kind of suspended it a little bit until we could figure out how to do it.
Okay, I guess I'm maybe kind of drifting towards closer towards what Carol initially would have said on this subject. So you say change should into may so that servers may provide explicit property ranges. And actually, this is kind of interesting what you said. So maybe the analyzer could check if there's any match. It says if how much that is really an issue that. But I don't think we can ever be accurate, especially with existing types, which a multitude of numeric types. So you have integer, and then specialized for a non-negative, positive, and negative, positive, and then a few others. An integer separate. I never remember which is which. I think one is long and the other one is short. An API if it defines a range of any one property as the basic integer type, whichever one that is, and then a publisher will say, okay, so I'm using this that predicate, but I want a more specific integer for my API. And then the client will understand that when it's a negative or a non-negative integer instead, it will act accordingly. It will be very difficult to work with this because you have to check, you know, for what's defined in the original spec, and then understand the relations between data types. I guess the main premise of this issue for me was just making stuff explicit. Even if an API does something dodgy and it will result in invalid data in terms of the given vocabulary, I think it's better to just have it strict within the bounds of an API rather than relying on, you know, external API, external vocabulary is being fetched and then doing that stuff dynamically, at least as a default choice. It feels just like a Pandora's box to suggest otherwise. Not sure if you follow.
Yeah, I think from the prototypes that we've started building on our Hydra client, encountering contexts we don't know is already a killer, because for performance issues, we have to pre-compile a lot of code to make the serializers very, very fast. So encountering new terms, encountering new terms that are declared by the client is easy because we have those mappings at start. But when we redefine terms inside context, this is where the client would every time it encounters something it doesn't know, it would suddenly spend a huge amount of time recompiling the serializer, and that's a massive pain. So anything that looks more standard that we can make more generic and code would allow us to reach certain performance limits, because we have an API that's vetted at 10,000 to 20,000 requests per second. So we can't really afford to we can't even afford to have a JSON LT parser behind the scenes for now. It may change in the future, but it's a huge amount of work.
So how often do you recompile? Once you recompile it, you deploy that client and it's then running your application, correct?
The client loads up the documents, sees the context document. If it knows it already and we ship a bunch of them in the prototype, it basically compiles it on startup for the ones that it knows, but it's dynamic compilation. Every single time you see a new one, then we need to reread all this stuff and regenerate mapping code to be able to look at the models that the client provides and what is going to be in the document, and make sure that the next time we see the same context document, we can regenerate a forward-only low allocation code pipeline, if you will. It's all at a really prototype stage at this stage. So this is the only model that we found that kind of worked. So the less schemas that we have to load externally that are not standard, the better.
I mean, so the focus here is actually on standard schemas. It's just schemas that are just like schema.org or XSD itself, or what else is there from the popular ones, like Dublin Core.
RDFS, I guess.
Say again?
We end up having to compile RDFS as well.
RDFS, correct. Oh yeah, of course, RDF and RDFS. And so there is just stuff that they are there already. So you don't have to redefine that stuff, and then you can just link to those documents and combine them with your API documentation to build the like you said, the efficient parser. That's actually the kind of magic that Carol mentions in that issue, I think, which I guess again stands in opposition to my concerns. So if you do it, then maybe. Yeah,
I would have to delve more into the issue to provide better feedback.
It's good. It's good. We don't need to decide on this issue, but I think you have the kind of experience building your tooling. You should have some good input here too. Yeah, I will be eager to hear your comments on that.
Well, I may be able to go a little bit more into details at RestFest in Wroclaw. We'll have something to share.
Oh yes, if you can actually show some of the tech that you built for what you just described, that would be awesome. 100%. Okay, I think that's it with this one. I don't think we can go much further on 192 today. So either anyone. Do you guys have anything you'd like to talk about?
No, not from my side.
Okay, so if not, then if you may have noticed, just 5 hours ago, just today, I created an issue on manager's blog, which I was implementing. So What do you think, Carol, if a manager's block could be the next thing on the API example?
Could you repeat the question? Sorry, I was typing something.
Yeah, sure. I said that I've just opened a manager's block issue, yeah. 194, and I was just thinking maybe manager's block could be the next focus for the API examples.
Might be. The thing is that there are two usages, as you already pointed, for managers. I do not really understand the second one, that this repairs the broken relationship. Still, in both cases, actually, I did not see any approach that uses all RDF predicate, object, and subject at single point. So it was always either predicate object or predicate subject. And actually, I do not think, because your examples, your snippets are using RDF, I think these are defined in the Hydra.
Oh, are they? Ooh.
Oh, wow, yep.
From what I think I saw on Pavlik's pull request, I think. Let me check, I think. Okay, not, there's a pull request also. Where's the pull request?
There is a Hydra subject, and there is a Hydra object, and there is also a Hydra. No, there is no predicate.
I've got object. Okay, this is what we implemented. This is a Hydra collection, but we have the same property on the collection description on the API documentation. Oh no, on the entry point. Sorry.
Oh yeah, so you did exactly what Pavlik did in its pull request 132. I think, let me check again. Subject, Hydra object, and there is no property, but he uses
no, there's property.
So it was before, it's just not visible in the...
So there are three of them, all of them in Hydra.
Oh yeah, that's good, because one problem I had with this when I typed it was like, RDF subject, these are for reificating triples, right? And I was thinking RDF subject and pointing it to a class, that's kind of icky, but good. If those are Hydra, then we are in the clear. Okay. So yeah, I think we're all on the same page apparently. You asked about the broken relationships. So this is if you follow the issue 41 link, that's something similar to RDF lists, if you remember. So with an RDF list, you have like the members.
Mm-hmm.
Not the members, because the members are just a set, but say you have an ordered member collection, right? So you have I'm just skipping one step. So you start from your resource, like slash Carol, and you want to say that you know me and you know Sebastian. So typically you would just say Carol knows Sebastian and Carol Fof knows Tomasz, right? But then when you actually put those resources away into a separate collection resource, you suddenly have Carol knows a collection. This is where the relation gets broken. It's not explicit anywhere on the API surface, even if you may store those direct triples in your backend. So this is where the managers restates that.
I remember the cases, but I'm not sure how it should be used and how it does actually repair stuff. But because all those examples, all those snippets here are so strange.
Yeah, it's just a missing piece, so that when you get the collection itself. So when you get the Carol slash collections slash friends collection, mm-hmm. you only get the collection resource and you get the members, and you have no idea that those are friends of Carol. So this is where the manager's block mm-hmm. tells you explicitly that okay you can now add to your graph all of those Carol knows and all the members. And if when you get all the pages, you get all of the Carol knows X triples mm-hmm. X implicitly.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's unusual construct. But okay. The thing is that the manager's block is used somehow. It's used in the same context because it describes the collection or what it manages. So the use cases are somehow different. Because I remember we were talking about using managers in describing, let's say, strongly typed collections. So we wanted to express that the Hydra collection actually contains resources that match some kind of pattern, for instance, property, RDF type, and an object something, some kind of class, for instance. Somehow reification. So, okay, Tomasz, what is your question?
I had a question, just what I said.
How does it actually make sense to include all three, subject, predicate, and object, in single managed block?
Oh, yeah. For the issue, yes. For the issue...
No?
probably, yes. So more of an open question to... Well, I hope someone from the old, from the people that used to be active in the group would have a look at that. So maybe someone remembers what's been happening over the years. But yeah, I think we can conclude that all three don't make sense. But maybe
so. For instance, in case of this usage that.
Hold on, but maybe they do. Maybe they actually.
But what would be the meaning? For instance, this example with Greg. The subject is Greg. Okay, so it's the left part of the statement. The predicate is predicate. And what would be the meaning of the object? I think it's supposed to be this collection.
No, it's the members of the collection. So let me quickly edit. So in the collection, you will have member, who does Greg know? Greg knows markers, I think.
Because my understanding of this manager's block is somehow similar to Sparkle query pattern, where one of the statement elements is, let's say, variable. It's not defined explicitly.
Yeah. So, right. So, object is different because object is pointing to a class in the first one. So that in both cases it will be the members of the collection. So in the first one you say that. The subject will be all of the members are subjects of this pattern, and then mm-hmm. you can apply type predicate and example class object to each member. Mm-hmm. And in the latter case, you have Marcus, if you refresh, you have Marcus as the member, and you can apply it as object to a Greg knows triple. Yeah, and that's actually mm-hmm. a good definition for what the manager's block is. I wonder if it doesn't make sense to have. Well, I mean, you could have a subject object and use the members as predicates, which I suppose you can think of a scenario for that. So yeah, I think that's interesting way to actually codify what the managed block is.
It's a pattern.
Okay, good.
You're the only card I understood from these managers.
Yeah, it was. It's been floating as an idea, but it was never really set in stone.
Maybe it's worth adding such a sentence in the specification.
Oh, definitely. Important action item on me. I'd like to get this one settled, and there's a bunch of related issues, and maybe we can just put them all to bed and have the manager's block an official part.
Okay. You've got an action point. Okay, dudes. We're out of time. So unless any of you guys have anything else to say or to write.
I'm good. Thank you, guys.
I just want to thank everybody to welcome me in the group. And I've now allocated and validated through the whole business that we are. We're actually trying to take as much of a role as we can on this. So thank you. And I'm quite excited.
We're happy to have you on board, Sebastian.
Well, thank you for that.
Indeed, please. Just please don't go away. Stay with us. See you. see you on the next call.
Yeah, it will be probably next 2 weeks.
Fantastic. It's all in my calendar.
Remember that because we are trying to be agile, if there will be any need to have an extra conference next week, don't hesitate to ask for it.
Okay. Can we try to do as we did a couple of times to make sure that the date and time is in the Slack channel for anyone else that would want to join in?
Yeah, sorry. I sent out the email and I realized today that I forgot the reminder.
Okay, I did it, also forget it.
We'll be there. Yes, yeah, we'll set the reminder. Actually,
awesome. Thank you.
Maybe if we can commit, if we should commit to, because we've had a round of ad hoc switching, you know, like pushing one week ahead, or I mean, postponing 1 week or hastening 1 week. I think it's better if we just have a solid every other week schedule. We can skip if it's holidays or like there's lack of interest. But in that case, I would just set up a recurring reminder every second week. That way, we can never forget.
Okay. Fantastic.
We'll do that.
Okay, thank you very much, then.
Thank you very much, guys.
See you later.
See you later.
Great night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.